It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study God's precious Word. We're in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse 15 and end with verse 19. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 through verse 19. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, you could find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and begin with me as we read this precious word today, Genesis chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I praise you that we have this opportunity to share God's word, your precious word, Lord. It's so important, and that we proclaim it clearly. It is the truth, and we need to leave it as the truth and not change it for our own will or way. Father, please guide and lead us now as we study and continue to take a quick look at the 15th verse, as we have spent much wonderful time on that, and we'll continue with the 16th verse. Guide and lead us today, Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We did look at that 15th verse quite a little while, and I just want to read it one more time. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. As we look at her seed, between thee and the woman, between Satan, the serpent, and the woman, between thy seed and her seed here is the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, speaking of the serpent, of the devil, and thou shalt bruise his heel, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ's heel was bruised upon Calvary, but there was victory because he came out of that grave alive 3 days later. The grave could not keep him. Death could not hold him. Satan, the serpent, he, on the other hand, will face a fatal blow, because judgment will be handed to him, and he will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And so the victory is won. The Lord Jesus Christ won that victory upon Calvary. The finished work of this judgment will take place at the end of the thousand-year millennium. And so, and that is, we know, to be 1,007 years away, because we still have the 7-year tribulation to come, and we have the 1,000-year millennium to come, and the tribulation has not started yet. So we don't know for sure, but we do know that it's 1,007 years from now is when Satan will be cast for eternity into the lake of fire. So please, that you look to that verse 15, recognize the gospel that it's presenting to Adam and Eve, the sweet words of a Savior is coming. And that Savior will come through you, speaking to Eve. And it did just he did just that. And we thank and praise God that he did not keep Adam and Eve in the dark for any period of time. He immediately presented to them the way of salvation, how it was to come. And it was going to come some 4,000 years later, as it has taken place 2,000 years ago now. And so as we look at this time, we need to recognize that it is a A beautiful scripture that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving power that he has and the victory that will be over the enemy, which is the devil. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the victor, and Satan is the enemy, and he will be defeated, and he is defeated, because anything God speaks will take place. It's not maybe, it will take place, and that's a victory that will be won. Now, we find that the judgment, and we have already spent some time here, and I don't want to spend a lot of time there once again, but judgment has been handed to the serpent. We find that the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's the 14th verse of chapter 3. Above that, we have the Lord God said unto woman, what is this that thou hast done? He was looking for them, which we must confess unto him our sin and come to him and invite him into our heart to be our Savior. Well, it was no different with Adam and Eve, because we find, and he said unto them, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, we have in the 11th verse, if I turn the page of my scripture here, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree there whereof I have commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? God desires, commands, demands a confession. We must confess unto our God the sin that we have committed. Each time here, the woman, she blamed the serpent, and Adam, he blamed Eve. And so things have not changed, have they? We continue to not face our responsibilities, and we continue to try to blame somebody else for our problems and our faults. But we do have the judgment that is given and placed upon the serpent on verse 14. But now we come to verse 16. The gospel is in verse 15. Prior to judgment coming, being given, told to the woman and Adam. Yes, judgment has come because they said, if you eat of that forbidden fruit of that tree, you're going to die. That's judgment. But there is an added statement here to what is going to happen because of that. Yes, death has come, immediate separation from God, and immediately the body begins to die. And that's what we have here with them eating of the forbidden fruit. But it gives us more, and we have that here in verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now let's look at that 16th verse. Two things are coming here. First is a sorrow. Said to the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. And so there is going to be great sorrow, and that's something that's not been in existence before, because we have joy and peace and excitement and fellowship with the Lord. But when sin entered in, sorrow came. And also here we have the word subjection. Look at what happens here. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So we have sorrow, and we have, they are going to have to be under, shall rule over thee. The husband has always been the head, but not a ruler over. It all started with pride. Grief and sorrow has entered in. Why do I say pride? Because Eve wanted to be equal with God. The devil, he wanted to be equal or above God. Pride. Pride still exists today. Pride keeps people from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride keeps people from being saved. Pride. It's terrible, wicked pride. And it all starts with pride, and we have now grief and sorrow. If we have known no guilt, we should have known no grief. But you see, when sin entered in, guilt came. And with guilt there is grief, and there is tears, troubles come to the hearts, it's all because sorrow abounds because of sin. It's not just here, thy sorrow. It is, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Greatly multiply. The area here of sorrow is great pain. And this great pain comes not only in just a sorrowful life, but it also comes in childbearing, bringing a new life, yet that by bringing new life into the world, it comes with great pain. And that is promised here in verse 16. That is a result of the disobedience of the woman and the man, Adam and Eve, in following after the temptation of the serpent, of Satan, and eating of the forbidden fruit. They had one rule, one commandment to keep, and that was do not eat. But you see, they didn't even follow the one rule. We have many rules to follow. They didn't even follow one. There is going to be great pain, even though it is bringing new life. Not only in giving birth, the actual act of having the baby, but beforehand, for the 9 months of carrying that baby, and it is a baby. It's people today try to convince us that it's not a baby until it is born, that it is he or she is a baby, up on a human, a life, up on conception. That's when that child begins, that life begins, upon conception, not another time. And any time that you choose to take the life of that baby, during that time, that 9 months, that baby is in the mother's womb, that life is there, you are a murderer. And it's just that simple. There is no little questions about it. They couldn't live on their own. That is life. That is life that is to be brought forth. And when you make the choice to kill that baby, you are a murderer, and you will be held accountable for that murder. If you have been a part of an abortion, and these people that even speak of the partial birth abortion, when you, I don't know how anybody can be so blind, so foolish, and so just downright stupid to think that at that point in time that there is any harm to the mother, if you want to use that as an excuse, because there isn't. The partial birth abortion is murder. That child is developed. That child is literally born, and they take it out and they kill that child. Now, any other time, it is no less murder. And I can't imagine how anyone can think that is not life. And when you see that child, and you can see the early stages of that child, the fingers and the arms and the head and the body, the toes, everything is so beautiful. But you see, the old devil's convinced us that we are prideful. We are number one, and we have a choice. It is our choice whether we keep this baby or not. Yes, it is. God has placed the responsibility of that child in your hands. And by you aborting that child, that you have murdered that child. And it is no different if that child is 10, 12, 15 years old and you murder that child. Murder is murder, and you are a murderer. Whether it's during an early stages of the pregnancy that you choose to abort that child or murder that child, or if you wait till the last stages of the pregnancy, right before the child is brought into this world, and out of the mother's womb, doesn't matter. Murder is murder. And please, confess before a living God your sin, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Is that the reason that some choose to have an abortion? Because of the pain the discomfort that they have. Probably most of the time it's not that at all. It's just because it's inconvenient. Well, we find down here that the scripture says, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now, what's happening today is that the woman, many people, many women are saying, "No one is going to rule over me. That child's not going to control my life or change my life. A man is not going to have any control or change upon my life. I am in the ultimate ruler and in control of my life." Well, that's not what the Word of God tells us. And so please, as we look to this, we find that there is sorrow, great sorrow. It's come because the woman was the first to choose of this forbidden fruit. She will carry this sorrow all of her life, and it is judgment. But the reason for the judgment is that as that pain comes, as a sorrow comes into a woman's life, that sorrow and pain will bring her to a place of repentance, not a place of rebellion, but a place of repentance, a place that she will recognize her weakness, she'll recognize how she is wrong, and she will come to living God and trust in the Lord Jesus. Please, that we look today and recognize today the need to be saved, and even the sorrow in our life. Greatly multiply thy sorrow, and the sorrow and the pain that comes forth in giving birth to a child. All those things should bring us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Lord Jesus, if you're not saved, and closer as we live because of this sorrow. Now, as we again continue to look, this birth of this child, the sorrow that's a part of that, the sorrow that is a part of your life, and then additional sorrow that's a part of giving birth to a child, this pain does not necessarily come and go at the birth of this child, as that child comes from the mother's womb and is in the world at that time. If that child chooses to be against, rebellious to their parents and to God, that sorrow will continue. We need to be in prayer for our children. We need to be in prayer for our young parents as they are raising children today, that they will do that in the direction of the Word of God. And one requirement we have through the Word of God is that you do not spare the rod. Because if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. There is discipline. Again, today in this terrible world that we live in, today abortion is accepted. Whether it's partial birth abortion or just regular old abortion, it's murder. That's to begin with. That's part of it. But today, then, the old devil, as he has convinced people that is a choice you have, people today have also, parents today have also decided that to discipline, physically discipline their children. And I believe God has given us a hand, and they've given the child a bottom. And that's where my hand is applied for discipline. And that discipline must come. If it does not come, we will find that instead of those children being a blessing to you, and I'm talking early on, I'm not talking wait until they're 2 or 3 years old. I'm talking as soon as they realize, and you know when you tell them something and they're disobedient to you, that's time to help get their attention. And you see that it's done by your hand applying onto their bottom. And please, that's not child abuse. To not discipline a child is child abuse. Now let's look here as these greatly multiplies thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. That sorrow can be for all of your life if you do not follow the way and the will of God. That sorrow in your life will almost and can defeat you if you do not turn to Jesus Christ. Come by faith to Him. Trust in Him for salvation. When you do that, many things happen. You acquire wisdom through God's Word and fellowship with the Lord. You acquire God's wisdom to raise that child. And also we have a wonderful verse of Scripture, you see, with this sorrow, because in John 16:21, and a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. You see, even though this is judgment, God has restored. When that child is born, the pain is forgotten and the joy is presented. Now, depending on who you talk to, some say, yes, that's true, and others say, no, it's not. Well, to you folks that say, no, it's not, I think you need to look at that beautiful life that's just come, a gift that God has given you, and you need to understand the greatness of that child and the greatness of that gift and the opportunities you have in now raising that child, that they too in their generation will be messengers of the gospel, that they will tell people about the saving, how to come by faith in Jesus Christ, the saving power of Jesus Christ. And if you will recognize that, that pain will go away. But if you're thinking only of yourself and how much hurt and pain you went through, and I'm never going to do it again, you need to come to the Word of God. You need to recognize that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior. And now that if you have accepted, and I hope that you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you will do that today, then please ask Jesus into your heart. When you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, confessing your sin, now you can begin a wonderful life. And even though the promise, this judgment, is of sorrow and of the sorrow of childbirth, that sorrow will be minimized because, yes, it'll still be here, and yes, you'll still have trouble, but you'll be able to look into the heavens with the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you'll be able to enjoy and praise a living God for saving your soul, taking your sin away, and giving you leadership and wisdom on how to raise your children, to be the wife you should be to your husband, and to be a helpmeet to your husband. All these things will come if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you choose not to, all you have hope for is sorrow, continual sorrow. You see the need when I tell you to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Do you understand that now? Why that I want so much for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I don't want you to spend all of your life in sorrow and in defeat. And that's what's coming, no matter what stage of life that you have, if you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be much sorrow if you choose not to trust in Jesus. There will be plenty if you do. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ will give you strength to face it and to come through it. And He can place, even through sorrow, a peace and joy in your life, something that the world cannot do. We deserve all of this sorrow, but by grace we may enjoy peace and strength during this sorrow. Because of sin, God has placed the woman, the whole female race, into a place or position of subjection to man. If we'll look at 1 Timothy, you say, well, that's the Old Testament. We're back here in Genesis. Well, let me show you something in the New Testament, and you can deny this too if you like. We have in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verse 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Verses 13, 14, and 15 we've read several times. But I bet you wish I would have stayed away from verse 11 and 12. You know, when I speak concerning the preachers that we have today, they call themselves preachers. Anyone can proclaim the word of God, but to have the role of pastor, you cannot be a woman. That's what the word of God tells us. Here it says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. When you look at that verse of scripture, it's very clear that a woman cannot be in the position of a pastor. We could also look back at the scripture verses that speak of the elders and the deacons, and we speak of those. It says the husband of one wife. And there's many references in the Word of God that tell us that the woman should not be a pastor, should not be teaching men. However, today they feel they can just change the rules as need be, and we do not any longer have to be under submission unto man. Well, I'm sorry, when sin came in, there was a position, a place, not to begin with. Before that, the man was over the woman. But it was a little bit different, because you see, the woman is in place under dominion of the husband. Wife to be subject to her own husband. Now that is the duty, and it also is part of the punishment, because you chose to take of the forbidden fruit. Adam, as we've just read in 1 Timothy, was not deceived. He had to come after his bride because of what his bride had done in her accepting of this forbidden fruit. Now, when we look at this word rule here in the 16th verse, and he shall rule over thee, that means to have dominion, have power over, to govern, to reign. If man had not sinned, he would always have ruled, but he would have ruled with great wisdom and love. If the woman had not sinned, she would always have obeyed with humility and meekness. It's all because of sin. Now, wives, if you don't obey and despise, and if you despise your husband's leadership, you are violating a divine law and a divine sentence. You're to be obedient. Now, wives, if you don't obey and despise your husband's leadership, do you follow after your husband's leadership? Now, husband, we haven't spoke of this yet, but if you want to be a leader, please be saved. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Because, you see, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Right now, you're dead if you don't know the Lord Jesus. Well, I am trying to be the leader I need to be, and she pays no attention to me whatsoever. I'm going to ask you, first of all, get down on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I am lost. I'm separated from you. I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to leadership. I need your help, and only if I'm saved can I have that help. Now, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, because you're a sinner, not because you need help, but because you're a sinner and you're lost. Now, once you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, man, you can begin to gain the wisdom of God if you're obedient to His Word. Just enjoy His Word. Then you can be the husband you should be. Now, before you start talking about how that your wife is supposed to bow down to you, you get saved. And once you get saved, you will begin to rule with wisdom and love. Not perfect wisdom and love, but some wisdom and love that God can give. You have none now. So please, before you condemn your wife for her not listening, you come to the Lord Jesus. Let's begin there. Now, we will start here next time we come together. It is important that we look to the Word of God. maybe some of these things with sorrow, childbirth, all these things. We've talked a little bit about the abortion and the problems there. We've talked about the rule and things there. Now, we'll continue that next time we come together. But please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?